Between client meetings, managing your business, and everyday tasks, who has time to worry about website hosting? With Kinsta's Managed WordPress hosting, you don't have to. They handle the technical stuff, delivering lightning-fast load times, enterprise-grade security, and 24/7, 365 human-only support. Simply switching to Kinsta can make your site up to 200% faster. Kinsta's custom dashboard makes managing sites easy, with powerful features designed to save you time and effort. Plus, their free expert-led migrations ensure a smooth transition. Ready to see why Kinsta is trusted by thousands of businesses? Get your first month free at kinsta.com. That's KINSTA.com. Kinsta, simply better hosting.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Check engine light on? Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I am so excited to announce our new platform launch, the49ersrush.com. We've been active on Patreon for years, and we're still going to keep that community going, but the49ersrush.com has everything Patreon offers and a bunch more. You want to watch player breakdowns? Guess what? You click that. It's filtered based on players. You want to see Javon Hargrave, what he brings, some CMC tape broken down, Ayuk, Jair Brown. We've got hundreds and hundreds of tapes on. Now, you want football 101. You want to learn scheme? Guess what? We've got every single offensive, defensive, special team snap. Head over to the49ersrush.com, sign up, join the community, and plus we got a 7-day free trial. So.
All right, the Krug Show meets John Chapman's 49er Rush podcast experience. It's Saturday morning. We're back together. We're going to do a little mock draft, a little mid-free agent mock draft, and there's some news in Ninerland. The Niners have their morning juice. When we get it rolling, Krug Show meets the John Chapman 49er Rush podcast experience. Hope you guys are having a great Saturday. Happy March the 15th. We're halfway through the month of March. Baseball season will be here shortly. The draft is just around the corner. The combine in the rearview mirror. It's now the pro days and the workouts leading up to the draft from Green Bay, Wisconsin, 49ers. With the most picks of any team in the draft, 11, needing to fill probably 15 holes. We'll see if they can take 11 picks and plug 15 holes. But first, we're brought to you by Pig in a Pickle, the best barbecue in all of Northern California. Check them out. They're in Emeryville. They're in Corte Madera. They're open 7 days a week from 11 a.m. till 8 p.m. or until they run out. Pig in a Pickle. Check them out. Go say hi to Damon and Mary. Get some brisket chili. Tell them the Krug sent you. And today's stream is brought to you by our two spring training sponsors, Clawdaddy Arcades. He's got three locations in Southern California, spots in Fresno and Modesto, and a new location coming to the Bay Area. Clawdaddy Arcades, family-friendly entertainment coming to the Bay. If you want to find out a location near you, follow them on the IG, at @claw_daddy_arcades, and you can find a location there near you. And also, the show is sponsored by LearnKeys Upskill Academy, an online learning platform designed to get you job ready in 6 months or less. So whether you're interested in IT, cybersecurity, marketing, or another high demand field, they offer over 30 certification programs to help you take that next step in your career. So 37 years in the biz, over 200,000 current students. They place over 100 students a month in high paying jobs. Check them out. Links in the description for all of our sponsors, and thanks to all of them for sponsoring the Krug Show. Well, I woke up this morning, John, March the 15th, to a headline I was not expecting to see. The 49ers, who had said goodbye to Kyle Juszczyk. Last we had seen him, he was in Pittsburgh contemplating a future with the Steelers. And instead, there's an about-face, a reversal, and an 11th-hour reversal. The 49ers have re-signed Kyle Juszczyk. It's a two-year deal for $8 million. You know, their stated goal is to get faster, younger, and cheaper. How does this how does this move align with those goals? Or is it really not about faster, not about younger? It's just about cheaper, and now they got him cheaper.
Yeah, I think that this entire offseason, if it was about getting faster, younger, you would have added certain players in free agency that fit that mold. They added zero. This entire offseason has been about cash, money, billionaires. I see what YMCMB. But that's what all the Kyle Juszczyk thing is about. You just save cash. It wasn't so much a football move. It was, hey, we're not going to pay you what we had you at, so go check it out. And the reports are the Steelers were willing to pay Kyle Juszczyk more money, but he wanted to come back. They went just under, and I'm glad that they made it work because the fans needed something. It's not about just losing so much talent and snaps and money in free agency. That happens all the time. It's about losing all of that and replacing it with nothing. You talked about needing to fill 15 holes. This takes one off. And I know some people are a little upset by Kyle Juszczyk coming back. And people were like, oh, I thought Kyle Shanahan was going to get rid of 21 personnel with the two back set. That didn't make much sense. And for the people saying like, oh, Luke Farrell's going to be the fullback. Nah, wasn't really in his tape. And he's never played that role ever in high school football or high school, college, or NFL. I think that this allows the continuity. One, it helps the locker room. Remember, Kyle Juszczyk was a voted on by the team captain last year. I don't think that that's going to change. So little bit of positive momentum. I think Kyle Juszczyk at this role in his career is a role player, 20, 25 snaps per game. But the versatility is there. And he can do so many different things from snapping to kicking to punting to special teams to splitting out as a fullback to – you know, play an inline tight end, third down back if everybody gets hurt again. I think that this is a little bit of a exhale, if you will, for the fans and the locker room, which it's hard to see all your brothers leave and get paid elsewhere.
You know, he's coming back for his age 34 season. We'll see how he plays. The fresh memory that Niner fans have is him fumbling late in the year. I'll say this. I mean, there's only so many answers as to why you couldn't run on the goal line. So if you're telling me Juszczyk was not the reason that you couldn't run on the goal line, then I have to say, you know what? You got to get rid of Jake Brendel. You got to do something. I mean, you can't run it back doing exactly the same thing with the same backs, the same fullback, the same center, the same, you know what I mean? The same plan, the same everything, and expect different results. You could not run the ball inside the 5-yard line. That's the reality. The rest of this is just talk. When it push came to shove at the end of the year, second and goal from the 4, third and goal from the 4, did they pass? Did they run the ball? No. No. Did they try to run the ball? No. No. They passed the ball. So that tells me that Shanahan didn't think they could run it in from the 3-yard line on second and goal. So either you don't have the right back, you don't have the right fullback, or you don't have the right center, but you can't run in the A-gaps. So is this a statement that Jake Brendel is the issue with the Niners' run game? Because something has to be the issue. I'm sorry, we can't just run it back with the exact same guys going, you know what? It's going to be better. They're going to be a year older, but it's going to be better. Somebody has to be blamed because there has to be some improvement here. You know, how do you get improvement if you bring CMC back, Juice back, Brendel back? And what am I supposed to say when they get stuffed on week 2 on second and goal from the 2 with the same old fullback, the same old center? You see what I'm saying? So this one is it's like you want to say that Juszczyk wasn't the reason that you couldn't run and that you want him now at 2 years at $8 million. That's fine. But somebody had to be the reason you couldn't run because you couldn't run. So how are you going to rectify that? That's what I need to hear.
Yeah, so there's a John Chapman answer, then there's a 49ers answer, which I think are two completely different things. I would argue the reason why you couldn't run last year in short yardage was Jake Brendel and Aaron Banks next to each other. Those two, that was terrible. That was terrible. Now, was Kyle Juszczyk a positive in that play? I don't think so. But for the 49ers, I think they would say, well, the healthy CMC. If we go back to the 2023 season when CMC was healthy, we were one of the best red zone efficient teams in the NFL. So just getting CMC back, hey, we had Jake Brendel then. We had Kyle Juszczyk then. That's going to fix everything. And if, again, I try to step into this Kyle Shanahan or 49ers logic that they are trying to put out there is, look, we're getting all these players back healthy. That's going to fix all the issues. Don't mind that you've lost nine starters. That's not the priority. It's we're going to rebuild through the draft, which the 49ers don't typically play rookies unless there's injuries there, but that obstacle may have been completely alleviated. So to fix your short yardage, they're going to say, oh, a healthy CMC fixes everything, Larry. That's all we need. It's just 23 back there, and we're going to be okay.
Well, you know, we'll see. I personally think, you know, it was more likely Brendel than Banks. I mean, Banks is 320 pounds. Brendel's like 285. So we'll see. But to me, that's where they need to upgrade. I mean, they really need to upgrade. If they do two things on offense, I need to see them get some bulldozing blockers and another back that can run the ball effectively. You lost a pick and slide natural runner in Elijah Mitchell, and you don't have that. I mean, I like JP Mason's size and speed. They tendered him second round tender. We'll see if they do to him what they did to Breida, which was trade him 3 weeks later for a fifth round pick. I could see a trade of Mason coming. It just seems like that potentially is coming. But yeah, I mean, they need another back. The guy that I really love in this draft is Taj Brooks. I was telling you the other day in text, the Texas Tech running back. I really think Taj Brooks could be the back that they need to put games away. You know, so you're going to get it going with Juszczyk, big plays, gadgets, all the different things he can do. And then you're Elijah Mitchell, let's finish the game back. I think it's important that they get that player, and because you got to finish games. And Taj Brooks is the guy that I would want on day three, probably a fifth round pick, you know, 5'9", 217 pounds, great blocker, great pick and slide, great vision, just a very effective runner, short yardage, goal line, between the tackles. He's a little bit more of a power back than Juice, but I think that's what they need. So I want to see a new back. I definitely want to see an interior road grader of some sorts. And I want to see at least minimum the guys at left guard, whether it be Ben Bartsch, and at center, whether it be Jake Brendel or Nugent or Zakel or whoever it's going to be. I want to see a good old faction competition this summer at those two spots. I want to see some guys knocking heads and battling it out in the preseason. I want to see some competition there. Cause something's going to have to be upgraded, or we can't do the same thing every year, expect different results as guys get older.
That's what you talked about, the competition factor. Like, for a long time, what made the 49ers the 49ers is they were a meritocracy. Like, whoever came in, it didn't matter. Like, you talked about Matt Breida. He comes in behind Trey Sermon, takes his job. No, Matt Breida took Joe Williams' job. Then you had Elijah Mitchell took Trey Sermon's job. Then you had Jordan Mason takes Ty Davis Price's job, right? So, like, it was who earned it. That's who's going to play. Now, go back to Jake Brendel. That's my biggest issue. And I know the 49ers and Chris Forster love them some Jake Brendel, but it's like, let's see some competition. Let's see Nick Sekel get some center. Let's see Matt Hennessy. Let's see Drake Nugent, because we know what Jake Brendel is. I mean, he's past 32 years old. Like, he's not going to start getting strong at the point of attack and start blocking to the whistle now if he's never done it in his career. Let's allow the better player to get those snaps. And Chris Forster is all against competition. And that's one of my biggest critiques of the team. I love Chris Forster. I think he's a great coach, one of the better position coaches, but he falls in love with his guys. and there's no wrong. You remember Aaron Banks last year went down several times. All three guards that played for him outperformed him, yet he got his job back after every single one of those. That's what bothers.
They say money can't buy you happiness. That might be true, but money sure can make you feel a lot of other things. When did you decide to take care of your money and why? Me, as somebody that branched out, got away from the normal paying job and had to take care of my own business and started from the ground up, money is stressful and it's been hard for me. But Acorns was a major part of the decision that made me be able to do the 49ers Rush podcast. Acorns is a financial wellness app that helps you take control of your money with simple tools that make it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. My favorite thing, you don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with the spare money you've got right now, as little as $5. Even if all you have is spare change, you can get started. So if you're ready to take control of your money, sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/49ers. Again, acorns.com/49ers, or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorns Advisors LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/49ers.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Check engine light on. Take the guesswork out of your check engine light with O'Reilly Veriscan. It's free and provides a report with solutions based on over 650 million vehicle scans verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we can recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Me, I'm with you on the Taj Brooks things. The bigger power back. Could you do some of that? But do you think they're going to take CMC out if he's in on the goal line? I doubt it. I doubt it.
I doubt that as well. There's so many different things I want to get into today, but one of the things I think is kind of interesting is that the fans right now are like, you know, I'm sure you get it since you represent the brand as well. I get it all the time. What is going on with the 49ers this offseason, right? I'm getting that a lot. I'm sure other people are as well. Well, they definitely have let some players walk away. They definitely have not spent hardly any money in free agency. The disparity is the greatest disparity in the history of free agency. I don't know if you saw that yesterday. The Niners free agents who have departed have gotten contracts for $321 million. The Niners coming into today before the Juszczyk signing had spent $37 million. $284 million disparity between the two, by over $80 million. I mean, whatever. It was amazing. It's an amazing disparity right there as far as what their players have gotten. But the fans are upset, but Vegas, I mean, FanDuel's got the Niners at plus 1,500 to win the Super Bowl. That's the sixth best odds. This is above the Commanders, above the Bengals, above the Rams. Only the Lions and Eagles are ahead of them in the NFC. So are the Niners really, have they really taken a big step back? Or is it just some big name guys who are past their prime and outlive their usefulness? The team has moved on, and just because they are big names, people are overreacting. What do you think? I mean, what player did they lose that you're like, that one really hurts.
The Drake Greenlaw, that was the one that was just like, ow. And somebody's like, well, he didn't even play last year. Yeah, and you saw what happened. Like, you saw how terrible a defense could be under Nick Sorensen. That was by far one of the worst defenses in the history of the 49ers program. Like, it was so god-awful. You literally went from first fourth quarter scoring defense to dead last in 1 year. Yeah, a lot of the other ones, the Leonard Floyd one, that was all about money for the owner. That was all a Jed York signing. Did not make you better football. Did not make you better cap-wise. So I think those two kind of stand out the most. The problem, again, isn't that you lost so much. It's that you replaced nothing. Yeah, you got better at quarterback, too. Okay, yeah, you overpaid for a tight end, too. Outside of that, you have the worst defensive tackle room in the NFL currently. The worst. It's not even comparable. You have one of the worst defensive end rooms. Yes, you have Nick Bosa, which is a top five player defensive end-wise, but then nothing after him. So now the 49ers are kind of telegraphing, you have to address these positions in the draft. You got 11 picks, which is the most in the NFL, and that's cool. Rebuilding through the draft's not a bad thing. But you have to supplement with free agency, and the 49ers have not done that so far. There's still time, and there's still players that you can get some role player backups to facilitate depth, which the 49ers don't have. But back to your initial question with Vegas and BetUS and all that stuff, they love the 49ers coaching, and this is turning into, you know, we have an age-old adage in the coaching world. Is it X's and O's, or is it Jimmy and Joe's? Because you still have Kyle Shanahan, you have Robert Saleh, the highest paid, you know, defensive coordinator, and you bring over Brent Boyer, very experienced special teams coordinator. Is the coaching changes enough to bring back the 49ers with players getting healthy? That seems to be Vegas is saying, yeah, with a fourth place schedule, you're in one of the worst divisions of football in the NFC West. I wouldn't bet against the 49ers. I just think they missed an opportunity to bolster depth and provide a clear advantage over the NFC West. I think they missed that all because Jed York wanted to save some cash.
Well, we're just getting it rolling. It's Saturday morning. Welcome to the Krug Show meets the John Chapman Experience 49er Rush podcast as we talk a little Niners on a Saturday morning. Okay, John, before we get to, you know, we're going to do our mock draft and this one's going to be, you know, with the latest moves factored in. Let's get your thoughts on the free agent moves of the week. I mean, just to list them, Luke Gifford, a veteran special teamer who's had a lot of special team success, a linebacker who played for Dallas and Tennessee. He was signed. So you got a veteran special team linebacker. Jason Pinnock, a veteran corner / safety who's had a lot of success as a blitzer and on special teams. He was signed. Trey Brown, smallish veteran corner from Seattle. He was signed. Demarcus Robinson came over from the Rams, the veteran wide receiver. Richie Grant from the Falcons. I think he's got starter potential, the free safety. Also has special teams experience. Luke Farrell, you referenced, the tight end, who's a blocking tight end. Seemed like a lot of money for a blocking tight end. And then Mac Jones, the quarterback that a lot of people feel Kyle Shanahan wanted back in 2021, Mac Jones lands with the Niners, and we'll see where that goes. What did you think of the signings they did make?
I thought that they were – the 49ers approach seemed to be from day one free agency, where everybody's making big splashes. Who are the cheap options we can get to fill this roster? The only exception to that was Luke Farrell, who I think that they paid a premium for, as what you said, like he's a tight end too, blocking guy, not splashy. Kind of his number one thing is he's one of the best pass blocking tight ends. That's, you know, an anomaly. So maybe that frees up George Kittle. But outside of that, they targeted some of the cheapest position replacements at safety, at linebacker, at quarterback, even with Mac Jones. That was a very, very cheap deal. They just went after very cheap contracts. And again, a lot of youth, a lot of, you know, guys going off the board at positions of need. They didn't even sign one defensive lineman. They cut Leonard Floyd. They cut Malik Collins for no other reason, again, just to save cash. Those were cap negative deals cash positive deals, and I don't care what anybody tells you, whenever all these moves have one thing in common, save cash, it's not about football all the time for ownership. And it has been in the past, and now the Niners have to overcompensate for that. The checkbook has caused issues. Now, can they overcome that? Is Mac Jones better than Brandon Allen and Josh Dobbs? I believe so. Is your tight end better than Eric Sauber? I believe so. You talk about the safety. We'll see. I think George Odom's going to be another one of those cash casualties soon. And can your cornerback that you drafted, who I really like, Trey Brown, but he's missed 39 games in 4 years. You're betting on somebody to stay healthy. They still haven't announced the money on that deal yet. So again, super low bottom level contracts that you can get bargain cash wise. That seems to be the Niners' recipe. Hopefully some of them pan out, and I think they will. But man, still no, you didn't draft one defensive lineman last year. You haven't signed one defensive lineman despite letting multiple go. That's kind of weird for a team that always puts such a priority on defensive line whenever you were successful, and you've gotten away from that in back-to-back years.
You've had years where you've had like 10 qualified defensive linemen. How many do you have right now? You have Bosa. Right now, the starters would be Bosa, Jordan Elliott, Evan Anderson, and Yetur Gross-Matos, with the second team line being Sam Aquinu, Drake Jackson, Kevin Givens, and Kalia Davis. And then you still have Robert Beal, Alex Barrett, Jonathan Garvin, and Teron Jackson. I will say this. I think Teron Jackson's actually a pretty good player, so watch for him this summer. He's been a few different places, but he was at Coastal Carolina for college. He's actually a pretty decent player. They signed him way at the end of the year, so he couldn't really contribute anything. But I think he's a guy that easily could make that roster, where I'm not really sure about Drake Jackson or his knee, or Robert Beal or Barrett or Garvin. To me, I would say you've got Bosa, Elliott, Anderson, Gross-Matos, Aquinu, Kalia Davis, Kevin Givens, and Teron Jackson. So you have eight guys that I think are NFL. And then after that, it's, you know, Drake's a question, Barrett, Garvin, Beal, those are, you know, question marks. So they need, for sure, I would say, three or four defensive linemen, probably more like five or six. When you factor in edge rushers and interior players, defensive line needs to be upgraded, and then linebacker needs to be upgraded. I know you have D. Winters and Fred Warner, and you know you have Bethune. Curtis Robinson's back. They brought in Luke Gifford. They still have Jalen Graham, but they definitely could use a linebacker or two as well.
Yeah, you need help. And again, like if you're going to run Robert Saleh's scheme, it is predicated upon having four defensive linemen that can get pressure, but also hold up to duo and double teams and combo blocks and things of that nature. They don't have that. Those guys aren't there. And I think, you know, Jordan Elliott, who I do think is a starter in the NFL, he might be one of the worst NFL players against the double team. It's one positive, six negative plays. And so the lack of consistency across that board, you have to address so much. And most of your guys that you mentioned, they're half players. And what I mean by that, Evan Anderson's a very good pro, but he's just a run player. He struggles with pass rush. Robert Beal, just a run player. And so whenever you have these guys, and it's just like, man, you're a side of the coin. You're not the full piece. There is nobody. The two guys that you had that, and I understand that Leonard Floyd was not very good against the run late in his career, but he was one of the best two-way defensive ends you had, not named Bosa. Like, you just cut him for cash. And so now it's just like, ooh, yeah, defensive end and defensive tackle, you're going to have to hit on not one, not two, three at least in the draft now, because you're not signing any in free agency yet. Ah, man, you're putting yourself behind the eight ball. It's rebuild through the draft or you're in trouble.
Yeah, no, I mean, they've set themselves up for a situation where they have to really hit on the draft. I mean, really hit on the draft. By the way, Kev put out an incredible stat on, we're talking about their free agents that they signed. This is a pretty great tweet from my kid. And granted, it's my kid, so what can I say? But then he put this out. Interesting stat on 49ers new defensive back, Jason Pinnock. Pinnock rushed the passer, John, 18 times last year. He ended up in those 18 pass rushing opportunities with 7 pressures, 3 sacks, and a 92.3 PFF pass rush grade, first among all NFL safeties. The top graded pass rushing safeties, according to PFF. I mean, look at this list. Pinnock is number one. Number two, Kyle Hamilton, probably the best safety there is. Oh, and if he's not, it's number three, Brian Branch, who's the best nickel corner there is. Cam Curl's damn good. He's number four on the list. Antoine Winfield is damn good. He's number five on the list. Derwin James is an amazing player. He's number six. Grant Delpit from the Browns, number seven. Josh Metellus from the Vikings, who's maybe one of the best blitzing safeties the league's ever seen, is number eight. Maybe the Niners got themselves a serious steal here in Pinnock. Now, I liked him at Pittsburgh. He's a tough, cocky corner with a lot of confidence and a little bit more play, you know, a little bit more play strength than I think people realize. This guy's got the ability to, you know, everybody's looking for the safety who's got the corner background who can cover a la Jimmy Ward. I'm not saying this guy's Jimmy Ward. Jimmy Ward went in the first round, but this is a good player. And this was a good, hard, you know, hard working football player at Pitt. He's found a way to make an impact thus far in the NFL. And those, I mean, when you see these numbers, he's the top graded pass rushing safety. It sounds like Robert Saleh's got himself, you know, a potential blitz option off the edge. What do you think?
Well, yeah, they were aggressive with him. And, you know, he played predominantly last year with the Jets in the same defense. 650 snaps were at free safety. He's the fastest safety the 49ers have on the roster. He ran a 4.49 at the combine coming out of Pitt. So what has been one of the criticisms of this Niners defense? They're slow. Jair Brown, slow. You talk Malik Mustafa, he's fast, but he's a box safety. You didn't have a true free safety. So part of letting Talanoa Hufanga go was, man, we have three guys that kind of fill that role. Do with that what you will. Jason is a versatile piece that can play slot, can play box safety, but from a free safety standpoint, right now, I would take him over number 27, Jair Brown has some good tape. Last year was awful, but you try to force him to play that free safety role, that wasn't his thing. He can't play man. That's not what he does. So Jair Brown has to be close to the line of scrimmage. That's it. So with Jason Pinnock, you're talking about a lower level player that you got basically pennies on the dollar that could step in, fulfill that free safety position if you need be. Now you want to address that in the draft with a guy like Makuba or something like that. Great. But if not, yeah, Robert Saleh sitting here saying, hey, this dude played 653 snaps at free safety for us last year. And we could bring him. If you're going to do that jet motion and force our free safety to come down in the box, guess what? We got an automatic blitz call for Jason Pinnock, which Kev so pointed out. This dude, hey, might not be at his best in the box, but he can blitz like no other. So, you know, maybe you're getting that chaos piece that we saw from Kyle Juszczyk. Nick Sorensen kind of took that away from him. But this is a versatile guy. That free safety is where he should be at. I think special teams where he should be at. But if you had to, he's proven he can operate in this defensive scheme, and he knows it.
What do you think of Richie Grant? I mean, I liked Richie Grant a lot in the draft out of Central Florida. I really wanted the Niners to grab him because he can hit and he can cover. He went to Atlanta, and I feel like they got a diamond in the rough here. I think Atlanta's big problem the last few years is that they don't put out a lot of pass rush, and they kind of leave their defensive backs on an island. And I don't think any of their defensive backs necessarily have played the best ball they can play because of it. I kind of like Richie Grant. I think Richie Grant, I know some people list him as a special teamer. I think that's short selling him significantly. I think he's a much better player than that.
Yeah. One of the things that's funny is, you know, the 49ers do have certain thresholds of like height, weight, position. And both of the guys we just talked about with Pinnock and Richie Grant, both 6'2", 200 pounds. Like they want that 6'2", 200 pound guy. So when you look at Richie Grant, what does he do well? Lower body explosiveness, change of direction, elite three cone drill, arm length. So he is one of those, all right, this is a slot box guy. Could play some free safety. I think special teams, I see him more as the George Odom replacement. He's still in the roster, but I think Odom's going to get released. Another one of those cash-saving deals. Because you have so many safeties right now. Like, you have more safeties than you're going to have make the active roster already on your team. So I think that that was just a cost-saving approach, but more upside than George Odom at the safety position. So let me ask you this, Larry. What is your safety depth chart right now with Pinnick, with Jair, with everybody? Like, what's your 1-2? Who are your starters? And then who's your Bravo group right now with the 49ers safeties?
I mean, I would say the starters would be Mustafa and Brown. Mustafa, you know, probably would get the first look at free safety, and Brown would probably get the first look at strong safety in my mind. I mean, now Brown's also a productive interceptor. So, you know, I'd be willing to take a look at both Brown and Mustafa in both safety roles just to see. But I think those would be my top two guys. I'm not as down on Brown as others. I see a really hardworking, conscientious football player who didn't have a lot of pass rush up front. The Niners did nothing to help their defensive backs in the last 6 weeks of the year. I know he regressed as a second-year player, but I still believe in Brown. So I would say Mustafa and Brown, and then Pinnock and Grant would be there. And then I would see Odom. I agree. I think Odom could be a cap casualty. They also have Quindell Johnson, who they've signed in the offseason, early in the offseason, who's an interesting prospect too. So, I mean, that's, I would say Grant and Pinnock, Mustafa and Brown. Those are the four guys.
I
usually go with four, and then Odom, I think, is on the outside looking in.
I agree. And then if you land a stud safety in the draft, somebody falls to you, there's nothing wrong with five safeties if one of them is a full-time special teams guy. And I think that you could have that with either Pinnock or Grant, whoever doesn't quote unquote shake out as well. Grant's been that's what he was last year. You know, Pinnock was more of a defensive player last year for the Jets. You look at Richie Grant, I mean, he had maybe let me see here, 160 defensive snaps. Like, there, so that's just based on last year, right? So is that going to change? Who's going to earn that role? But you have two identical build type players. I would say Richie Grant's a little bit slower but better length, more explosiveness. You got more of a speed guy in Pinnock, kind of, but they're interchangeable. They can play both.
Is there a free agent that, you know, maybe an under the radar free agent? Matt Barrows did a whole article on this week, and he listed Calais Campbell, Za'Darius Smith, Azeez Ojulari. By the way, I had Barrows on yesterday, and he told me that the Niners are not showing interest in Azeez Ojulari. He said that a defensive end that might make sense for them is Dante Fowler, which, you know, former Ram, former Cowboy. I'm not offended by that. I was hoping they'd go for Ojulari. He's a smaller guy, maybe more of a 3-4 stand-up outside linebacker. But he also listed Charles Omenihue, Eric Kendricks, Kazir White, Jerome Baker, Tyron Smith, Joe Notaboom, Charlie Heck as potential free agents. Heck signed yesterday with Tampa. Is there a free agent that's out there, you know, now that we're past the first, you know, several days of free agency? Is there a free agent out there that is still, you know, kind of hanging beneath the radar that you think the Niners ought to go after?
Man, it's rough, but I would want a vet edge piece. I know they want to go younger and all that stuff, but those guys are gone. Like, I would love somebody like a Matthew Judon who could eat up snaps and be kind of a third down type pass rusher, but use him as such. Somebody like, it took you all year to figure out how to use Leonard Floyd. You did it. You figured it out. Cut his snaps down to 20, 25 a game. He's productive, and then you cut him. So, like, are you going to replace him with something like that? I don't know. But, yeah, get somebody like a Shaquille Barrett, somebody that is an experienced pass rusher, and just say, hey, you're going to come in and you're going to rush in the third and fourth quarters, and that's kind of your role. But it's got to be at the defensive line room. There's not much left. Taven Bryan is a name I like, but he's a pass rusher type penetrator only. You've lost all the complete players for the most part. At the linebacker position, I think you have your base. And so, yeah, 49ers went after Eric Kendricks last year. He played a great year. You'd love to have him, but he already stiffed you once, man. Like, I ain't going back to the well there. You should have learned your lesson last year. So I'm fine with the D winners, Curtis Robinson, Tatum Bethune as my floor. Let's go draft somebody that can compete with that. I think you have your floor at linebacker, so I don't need the vet patch there. But at defensive end and defensive tackle, those are not non-competitive rooms at this point. And so you need bodies. You need experience. Ah, that D-line is bad. There's no more centers that are probable. I think that's probably one of the biggest issues on this team, but there's nobody else out there that's better than Matt Hennessy or Jake Brindle, which is saying a lot.
Yeah, and I'm looking at the defensive line options. It's bad. There's just not a lot of options. I mean, there's not a defensive tackle that I would say, you know, I mean, will they re-sign Khalil Davis? I mean, you know, you mentioned, you know, Brian from Indianapolis, the former Gator, right? Was he played in the SEC? There's Leckie Fotu, who was with Robert Saleh with the Jets. As far as interior players, there's just not a lot. I mean, I would say interior players, there really is nothing available. As far as edge guys go, it's not a whole lot better. I mean, you know, the best edge player out there, maybe Von Miller, if you want to take a shot on Von Miller. Maybe Charles Omenihue, if you want to bring Charles Omenihue back. The Kazir White name's an interesting name. Daryl Taylor on SpotTrack is listed as available, but I think he signed with Houston.
I remember his name being on there.
Yeah, so he's not available, even though he's listed here. Dante Fowler might be the best they can do. I mean, seriously, that might be the best they can do. It's not an impressive group of names. To me, the one guy that I'd love to see them get is Willie Gay, just because he's such a fast linebacker and they lack speed. And if they had a little bit more speed at linebacker, I think that would be nice. Now it's a great draft for linebacker speed. One of the other things that I saw yesterday that I don't know if it's legitimate, if it's not legitimate, but you know, there's still a lot more smoke around Ayuk. Calvin Kami had a piece earlier in the week saying that Ayuk could be traded at any time and that they would save $110 million of Jed's money if they move Brandon Ayuk, which makes me think they're going to move Brandon Ayuk. A guy named Mike Mushnick, who covers the NFL. Let me see. Mike Mushnick, senior NFL news reporter for the Dallas General, University of Texas alum. Sounds sketchy. No. But he's got the blue check, and he put out yesterday the Panthers are getting closer to a deal with the 49ers for Brandon Ayuk per sources. There's a lot of smoke around Ayuk as far as, you know, some of these teams that are at the bottom of the NFL food chain, like the Patriots and the Panthers and the New York Giants and some of these, the Cleveland Browns. What do you think, John? I mean, I do believe that John Lynch told us in Indy that he's going to move Brandon Ayuk for picks. Interestingly enough, I looked at the Browns day three list of picks. They have four picks in the sixth round. So they definitely have the arsenal of day three picks if the Niners want to take day three picks for Ayuk. What's your guess? Is Ayuk going to be back here? It seems like there's a frostiness between Ayuk and the team. And it sounds like, according to Tim Kawakami, there was more pain on the cap in parting ways with Debo than there would be in parting ways with Ayuk. Do you think they'll find a team that they can save that $110 million on Ayuk and get out from him? Or do you think he's back and rehabbing and back in a Niner uniform in November?
Yeah, my nuanced answer is, yeah, for Jed York, it makes sense to trade him. He's got Brandon Ayuk has another $4 million option bonus that hits April 1st this year. So you're talking 2 weeks. That's another $4 million of Jed money out the window. So the saving 110, that makes sense. All that makes sense. The problem is, man, what are you going to get back for him? The reason why I would say no is because what are you going to get for a dude that tore everything in his knee coming off an injury? Like, you going to get a day three pick? Is that worth it? God, no. You had a top 40 pick from the Browns on the table with a wide receiver placement and Amari Cooper, and you didn't take it.
Here's the thing. You kind of said it before. It's really more about the money. It sounds like a lot of this offseason is about the money. So if that is the theme, that we're prioritizing the money, well, then isn't it easy to kind of picture them trading Ayuk at a loss because they're going to save $110 million of Jed's money?
Yeah, and, you know, you talked about cap. It makes sense. I hate it because, again, you buy low, sell high. The Niners are the opposite. They buy high, sell low repeatedly. That's not the formula for success. It's actually a cap hit. If you trade them, you lose against the cap, but the 49ers have so much cap space and they're not using it. So the cap is almost non-existent for the 49ers this year. It's all Jed York's money. That's all the concern. And so if that's the case, expect it to be trade. I hate it. If you trade this dude for a fourth-round pick, winning is not a priority, and you are going the way of Jerry Jones-type franchise mentality. And we've seen Jed York do this before. It wouldn't be the first time. Now, the last 10 years hasn't been the case, but with Jed and his sister, that they operated this way in the past. It wouldn't be the first time. I really, really hope and pray that's not the case. And
if you don't want to move for a fourth, you're really not going to love it if he's moved for 3/6.
No.
But yeah, no, I hear you. But it sounds like that's what it sounds like. And you know, once again, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, you just never know the way these things. There's an awful lot of talk this time of the year. By the way, as far as the reviews of the Niners offseason thus far, PFF gave the 49ers a D, as in dog.
That's
for
kind.
Their offseason thus far, with their only two notable additions in their minds, Mac Jones and DeMarcus Robinson. What is the move that you like the most that the Niners have made? What's the move that you like the least?
DeMarcus Robinson. I'll agree with PFF there. Like, you know, you just saw Cooper Kupp get signed for $15 million a year for Seattle for 3 years. Well, DeMarcus Robinson out-snapped, out, you know, more receiving yards and more receiving targets in the Rams 2 postseason games this year. DeMarcus Robinson not phased out. Cooper Kupp was still one of the three. They run 11 personnels, but it was DeMarcus Robinson who kind of took over that wide receiver 2 role for the Rams behind Puka Nacua. And so the fact that you're getting him on a bargain basement deal compared to the $15 million per year, you look at what, you know, DeMarcus Robinson's getting just under $5 million a year. So now he does have the suspension, but I thought that was one of the more crafty, hey, we have a role for you here, DeMarcus Robinson. You'd stay in California until Ayuk comes back, or if we do trade Ayuk, guess what? You're a starter for us day one. And will be if Ayuk's traded. I still am holding out hope Ayuk's not going to be traded. Don't be that dumb, please. But yeah, that DeMarcus Robinson signing, I think that was one of the huge value that is an immediate contributor, despite the suspension, whatever comes with that. I thought that was a pretty savvy move. Probably the biggest impact for the 2025 season that the 49ers made.
You know, we'll see how this happens with Ayuk and what shakes out of it. I will say this, if indeed the Carolina Panthers are interested in Brandon Ayuk, one name to keep your eye on is their nickelback, Chow Smith Wade. Why? Because the Niners' new secondary coach or corner coach, Brown, who came over from Boston College, was at Wazoo, and this was his guy, Chow Smith Wade. So he's a nickel corner for Washington, or former Washington State player, now plays for Carolina. He's a young player. He's 22. He's got some ball skills. He's a small slot corner, but pretty great ball skills going back to college. We'll see. But if you see Ayuk move to Carolina, don't be shocked if Chow Smith Wade comes back, because Brown, the new corner coach for the Niners, he's kind of thought to be the guy who kind of found and developed Chow Smith Wade back at Wazoo.
Just one thing I want to add to that. A lot of the coaches I worked with have some overlap with Coach Ray Brown, and nothing but positive highlight. Like, he's the dude from all the guys who are very, very critical coaches I've worked with in the past, but they are big fans of him. So I'm excited to see what he can bring to the Niners. Very, very excited.
All right. Are we ready? Oh, one more note. Greg Cosell went on the radio on 95.7 The Game and said that they were asking him, hey, you know, what do you think of the D-line draft? He's like, oh, you know, it's loaded. There's going to be, you know, 25 D-linemen in the first three rounds and this and that. And they said, you know, who do you like? He's like, well, I haven't met these guys at all. But just looking at the film, he's like, I love Walter Nolan. Greg Cosell said that Walter Nolan reminds him of Jalen Carter of the Eagles, which obviously at this point, that's a player that I think a lot of teams would love to have. So, you know, Walter, I also saw a long video last night on YouTube, a guy who broke down and compared and contrasted the games of Walter Nolan and Kenneth Grant, two of the top defensive tackles. And, you know, that's a coin flip. John, what do you think? I mean, you're as into the draft as almost anybody. It's funny. I've got this mock draft that I did the other day from PFF, and I started the draft by trading down from 11 to 21 and took Jaylon Walker, and it gave me pick 40, or I had pick 43 as well. And I took Kenneth Grant at 43, which kind of fries my bacon because I think I'm going to try not to do that today. I'm not going to take guys in the mock because they're there that I'm pretty convinced are not going to be there.
Like, I appreciate that.
I don't think Kenneth Grant or Jaylon Walker are a lock to even be there at 21, let alone Kenneth Grant being there at 43. I there's no chance in hell that Kenneth Grant's there at 43. Jim Harbaugh himself will trade up at some point before pick 43 and take Kenneth Grant, as much as he talked him up when he was the head coach at Michigan, right?
100%. 100%. So.
But do you have between Nolan and Grant and Harmon and, you know, some of these defensive tackles, it's a great group. Do you have a personal favorite coming into the process before we get into the mock?
Man, they're all close, and it just depends on what you want. I would say Walter Nolan has the highest ceiling. I would say Kenneth Grant, if you want to stop the run and that's your priority, might only be a two-down player, but we've seen Philly do that. Where you draft a guy super high that's only a two-down player, you know, Jordan Davis, and that's okay. Like, there's a role for that. But my favorite, if, you know, my defensive tackle number two, it's the Oregon kid. It's Harmon. I love him. I just think that he's probably one of the best disruptors in this class. And I have them all close. But my defensive tackle two, it goes Harmon, and then I would go Nolan, then I would go the Michigan kid Grant, but I love all three of them. The answer is yes, Larry. if the 49ers have an option to get any of those, the answer is yes. Yeah, go get that.
So Harmon would be your first choice, or is Mason Graham, Walter Nolan?
Mason Graham. Yeah, Mason Graham would be one for me. Mason Graham, I think I have as my number three overall player in this class. Walter Nolan, and so Derek Harmon 20th, Walter Nolan 22nd, and Kenneth Grant 26th. So I have those guys at the same tier. There's a giant gap between, for me, Mason Graham and the other three defensive tackles, but I have first round grades on all those players.
Harmon had like 55 pressures this year, far and away the most of any defensive tackle in the country. So it's not crazy. Now, he played on a line with Jamari Caldwell, with Jordan Birch. I mean, it wasn't like he was out there all by himself. He had a lot of help, but man, 6'5", 310, a lot of people like Derek Harmon. Jordan Elliott the other day said that he really likes Derek Harmon. So, all right. We
love Jordan. Jordan Elliott's the man.
Yeah. Jordan Elliott's awesome. He's fantastic. Have you ever had Jordan Elliott on the pod?
I have. It's been too long though. Yeah, it needs to happen again.
He is really good. All right. Should we do the supers and then the mock? Let's do that. We'll do the supers and then the mock. Here we go. Ryan Aloy, semi-serious question. Did they re-sign him because of his wife's jacket's popularity, Taylor Swift connection? Grasping at straws here. The jackets. Yeah, maybe that's it. Maybe that you do not cut this player until he makes me a jacket, Kyle.
I will say this. We have a lot of 49ers players come to our parties. We have to pay them. But we've had Kristen Juszczyk show up to one of our events. Completely different reaction. You see grown men turn into fangirls as soon as Kristen Juszczyk or Claire Kittle walk in. It's a different impact, I will say that.
That is so funny. Jack Cooley says, Super Bowl!
He's a Kyle Juszczyk truther, that guy, and I love it.
Dale says, this team and offseason drama is getting old. All right. There's some guys who've seen enough. Showtime 2118. Larry, do you still stream with Coach? You know what? I don't stream with Coach on a regular basis, but you know, I still consider him a good friend. And he was working on a film deal that he was going to do on Saturdays. But we both have agreed that we'll stream again together, because I think there's a lot of people that would like to see the Coach back. Matthew Short says Henderson is a perfect scheme fit. Henderson. Is he talking about Travion?
Oh, probably perfect scheme fit. But again, with the money, the problem with Travion Henderson is it doesn't save Jed York money, doesn't get you younger, doesn't get you faster. That's why I don't think that the Niners are even entertaining that deal. And the Bengals are asking way too much. And so Bengals are a weird ownership group.
Who are you talking about now? Are you talking about?
Oh, sorry. I was talking the pass rusher for the Bengals.
Oh, Henderson.
My bad.
Maybe do you think he means Hendrickson?
Yeah, he's not wrong. Travion Henderson is a perfect fit. Perfect.
If he's talking about Travion Henderson, the running back, he's a great blocker. He's a great receiver. I you know, personally, and this is a tough one for me, is that I know the Niners running back is not the priority. But to me, the two Buckeye running backs are so spectacular that every time I get to the second round in the mock drafts, you know, I'm staring at Quinshon Judkins, and Judkins is just an awesome player, I think. I mean, he was great at Ole Miss. He was great with the Buckeyes, and he's 220-something pounds, and he runs in the 4.4s. I mean, that guy will change your football team. And Travion's ability to block and his ability to catch out of the backfield, he's spectacular as well. I mean, I know the Niners have a bad track record of the high round draft picks, but man, I'm going to have a hard time passing those guys. Leon Sandcastle, do you think they could bring in another fullback to develop, or is it just juice? I wanted Robbie Outsis from Bama, or an undrafted free agent, phenomenal lead blocker. I'll check him out. We'll see. I mean, if they bring in somebody else, there aren't a lot of fullbacks out there, period. Dale says, I'd say we have a bottom five defense, John. Salah isn't Jesus carrying a clipboard. We don't have the horses for this defense. What do you think Robert Salah is thinking right now? Do you think, John, do you think he signed on here fully knowing that this was coming? Or do you think that this purge, if you will, has caught him by surprise? And if you saw him walking around the street, he's muttering things to himself.
As a coach, you love challenges and you want to prove, especially come after getting fired. Like, you just came off fired in week five of the NFL season as a head coach. That hurts. And so to go to a place where you're valued, where you have some core pieces in Bosa, Warner, Diamador Lenore, Renardo Green, like you have some pieces, you get approved to everybody. Look, I know what the hell I'm doing. And so the challenge is there. I just hope that they allow him to get the groceries to make somewhat of a decent meal, because I am with you, Dale. I don't think that this defense has the talent or depth throughout. There are some major, major holes, but if you let them get some of these early draft picks on that defensive side, man, I'm pretty excited to see Robert Saleh go out there and just say, hey, coaching matters, and I'm a pretty damn good coach, and I am 100% behind coaching matters, but you got to have some of the horses.
I handed Robert Saleh a bottle of Aquafina once, and he did hand me back a bottle of Chardonnay. So he might be able to turn water into wine. And you know what? Maybe he really is Jesus. Dale says, trade Bosa, commit to full D, rebuild, get picks. A reason. I mean, I can see the reasoning, Dale. I really can't. Dale says all the free agents are old reclamation projects. Our track record lately on offseason garbage pile free agents isn't too good. That is true. Dale says, did the Yorks buy a shitty Scottish soccer team? I can neither confirm nor deny, but yes, that is indeed the case, which I guess is confirming. Did Jen said juice contract shows to me Shanny still has power. He hasn't lost it.
No.
L. Kurtz, Kyle will never earn. Cabo Click, Andre Garibay, edge in the first round, defensive tackle in the second, O-line in the third. What do you guys think? So many holes. Sounds good to me. 49er Brian, Larry, have you hugged Grant yet today? I have not. It's not my day. Big Tone says an effective blocking and receiving end. What's that emoji?
It's a prayer hands emoji, I believe. Praying for two tight end sets.
Praying for two tight end sets. And we got Andre Garibay. Main issue is they haven't addressed huge needs in the trenches. If they want to build through the draft, let's be honest, it will take at least two drafts at best, or a monster draft. All right. We're going to do a speed. We're going to go speed mock here.
And when that I say is speed, neither of our specialties, Larry. Neither.
I know. It's never not our specialty. But, you know, here's the thing. You don't get forever. We, you know, John and I do all do know the names. So we and I've already got the whole thing set up here. We're going to go Pro Football Network this time. We've used some of the others. We'll go with this one this time.
Are we taking out the big reaches? So like if a top 10 guy's there in the second round, I just want to stop myself before we get to that position. Are we doing a realistic mock, Larry? Or are we trying to, if Walter Nolan falls to the second round, we could take him or no?
Well, I mean, how do you feel about it? We're getting, it's we're now within 6 weeks or so of the draft. You know, some of these simulators are slow to adjust. You know, sometimes our information in the present is greater than seems like theirs, or we can adjust faster. Why don't we do this? We'll just do it straight on the board. So, you know, so the board, so we'll play the board the way the board comes down. Even if it's odd, but I will say this, let's take into account like what's changed since our last mock draft. The number two quarterback spot for the 49ers is now filled. Right. So, like for me, I would probably where I would maybe consider a quarterback in the mid rounds. I probably won't now. So that spot's filled. And then they have added some significant numbers now in the secondary with Trey Brown, Trey Tomlinson, Richie Grant, Jason Pinnock. I don't know that any of them are great players, but, you know, that's four different bodies they've added in the secondary. So they, I probably won't go, you know, secondary early, just because, you know, they seem like they're fortified there. And I think the bigger holes are on the D line and O line. And I probably won't go tight end as early because now they now have Kittle and Luke Farrell, and they still have Pline, Tongas, and Willis. So they have five tight ends. So I you know, maybe this goes from a two tight end draft to them for them to a one. And I may not feel the urgency early to go receiver now that they have DeMarcus Robinson. That would be my adjustments. What adjustments do you see as logical coming out of the or coming, you know, into this mock in the middle of the free agent period here?
Yeah, I think with the signing of Kyle Juszczyk, like the idea of Tyler Warren at 11 makes no sense now. I don't think that ever really did make sense, but that crowd, now that you have Farrell, now that you have Juszczyk back, I just don't think tight end early makes sense at all. And if you do address tight end, needs to be a move guy. Probably not going to go get another pure blocking guy. Like you want somebody that can split out. It'd be a receiving threat if you do address tight end, which I do think that they need to add that. And so, yeah, to flip it on the head, its head, O-line, D-line, linebackers. Yeah, I think that those are the paramount position. And I think you need two ends and two defensive tackles at some point in this draft.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that. Dale, by the way, says Niners boat is 15 holes and we only got 10 fingers and toes and can only unzip once. Yes. Nice. Very nice. All right, here we go. Do you want the first pick or the second pick? You want me
to
go?
You always give me the first, Larry. I want you to go first.
Okay, let me see. Where is my... There it is.
Too kind, Larry. You're always nice, man. I appreciate that.
Well, between recess and high school, we used to play this game called Hacky Sack.
Oh, yeah.
And the key to Hacky Sack is you never serve to yourself. And that's how we start. We never serve to ourselves. All right, here we go. People don't get the Hacky Sack reference. All right, here we go.
Oh,
we have a trade offer. Chargers have called offering 22-55 next year's second for 11 and 13 and pick 113. I like moving back to 22, but let me take a look at this other one. Lions are offering 28-60 in their second and third next year to move back. That's a little further back than I want to move. Now let's hide that and let's see who's on the board for us. So
my favorite trades are ones that involve third rounders this year. I want as many third round picks as I can this year.
I agree. But also, you know, some of these future picks, I'm not into future picks, especially if I'm John and Kyle this year. Okay. So now this is how it goes in front. Cam Ward went one, Abdul Carter two, Jonte Genty went three which is really high. Travis Hunter, 4. Will Campbell, 5. Mason Graham to the Raiders at 6. Shador to the Jets at 7. So that second quarterback trade up possibilities off the table. Will Johnson, 8. Mikel Williams, 9. Armon Membu went 10 to the Bears right in front of the Niners. So the Niners are looking here at a board that has Teteroa McMillan, Shamar Stewart, Tyler Warren, Kelvin Banks, Tyler Booker, Jaylon Walker, who I absolutely love, Malachi Starks, Matthew Golden, Derek Harmon's down here as well. If we go further down, they have Walter Nolan at 31 and Kenneth Grant at 34, which I really think is really too low for those guys. I agree. I can't imagine. So what do you do here? I mean, you want me to go first? If I'm going first, this is really, really tough. But
the one thing I would say, yeah, I just want to throw this just quick caveat. You could delete it, Larry. If you did trade Ayuk and this happened, the pick would 100% be Tet McMillan. It would be a PRX replacement. If you did trade Ayuk, I think that that would be in the fold here. I don't think that that is in the fold in this current situation. But is, with you talking, you know, Jed York money and all that stuff in the back of my head, if you did move from Ayuk and this board fell this way and Tet McMillan was there, I think that he would be in the conversation for sure. Outside of that, yeah, a lot of D-line there. A lot of D-line there.
You know, I've looked at all these guys. Now, to me, this is a discussion between Jaylon Walker, Walter Nolan, and Kenneth Grant. I saw Jaylon Walker abuse Kelvin Banks for 3 sacks in the Georgia-Texas game. Kelvin Banks is a good player, but Jaylon Walker he's the total package, man. I mean, he's fast. He's a great edge rusher. He's a great stack backer, I think. He's a smart player. He's a hardworking player. I mean, Jaylon Walker, I think, is great. You know, I think he's really, really great. The question is, you know, do you want to take him here over a defensive tackle? Even though it's a great defensive tackle draft, you know, Walter Nolan is like, if someone said, what's your comp for Walter Nolan? He's Chris Jones. He can play any of the spots on the line. He can play the 3 technique. He can play a 1 technique. He can play a 5 technique and a 3-man front. He can play a 4-3 defensive end. I mean, he's so athletic, and he's so explosive in his first steps that I think Walter Nolan literally could play anywhere. So in a lot of ways, I think he's the best guy to start with. But my big issue between Nolan and Grant is the same issue I have with Kalia Davis, which is Nolan, if you look at his body, he's got kind of smaller calves, and guys with the smaller lower legs have a hard time staying healthy. And
Kalia Davis, tree trunks, baby.
Yeah, you need the tree trunks. I'm going Kenneth Grant. Kenneth Grant sets you up for the rest of your draft. Kenneth Grant is 6'3", 330, but he's got movement skills of a man who's 50 or 60 pounds lighter. To me, he's an indestructible force. He's a freak of nature. I'm starting my draft with Kenneth Grant. I would rather trade back.
I'm mad at it.
I would rather trade back and start with Kenneth Grant, but I'm starting with Kenneth Grant.
I like it. I ain't mad at all.
You're up at 43, and you have 2 trade offers. Buffalo's offering 56, move down for 56, and they'll give you next year's 2nd. They also want 147. And you have the Dolphins saying, hey, if you move down 5 spots, we'll give you 116, which is super intriguing.
Are we taking trades? Are we taking trades on this one?
Yes, absolutely. We're taking any. We're going to play this straight. We're going to play this straight. So anybody on the board is worthy of taking, and any trade that's offered is worthy of making.
Okay, so that trade is very high on my list. Not the Buffalo one, but the Miami one. Drop back 5 spots, pick up an extra 4th, 116. That one, I'm just like, okay, unless there's just one guy screaming at me here.
See, Jaylon Walker is there. I mean, that is really... See, now this is, I don't really think is likely. I think this guy's likely to go in the top 10.
I think so, too. But, okay, let's play devil's advocate. Why would Jaylon Walker fall? He's a one on the experience scale. He has not taken a lot of snaps. Still has not tested fully. He still got an injury. Didn't test at the Georgia Pro Day. Didn't do full testing at the Combine. He's going to have a separate Pro Day. So if that injury issue is lingering, perhaps that's there. He's a tweener. What exactly is he best at? I think he's good at really everything. Now, if Jalen Walker was here at 43, I'm probably turning the card in. Mike Green is there, but the character stuff, I expect him to fall. Landon Jackson, probably my favorite for this pick. Landon Jackson, if you don't go end early, I just love him so, so much. I think he's a damn good player. You got your linebackers, Carson Swisinger. There's, you know, Tyleek Williams, another defensive tackle. There's a lot of guys there. Man, Maxwell Harrison, yeah. I think he goes first round. But, man, this sucks because if I'm doing best player available, it's Jalen Walker, and not even having a conversation about it. But I'm just like, man, I just said five guys I'd love to have at this spot. I'm taking that trade. I'm going to trade back five spots. And if that alleviates my second round pick, like now it's Larry's turn. I totally
It's your pick. It's your pick. You've opted to move back, and now you're at 48. Now you have two more offers. You could trade the 48th and next year's six to want for 118, a second and a third for next year. Would reject that. Or you can move back one spot and pick up Cincinnati's seventh round pick next year.
We don't have a seventh rounder currently next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a no-brainer to me, unless you have a player right here that you want. Jalen Walker went to the Colts after that trade. He went two picks later.
Let's keep scrolling down that list, just the big board. I want to see if Landon Jackson's still there. That's probably going to be my pick. I'm in love with Landon Jackson. I just think he's a complete player that fortifies against the run, has the freak athleticism. If you like Shamar Stewart in the first, you should love Landon Jackson in the second because athletically they're comparable. And so, again, we started talking about how big of a deal the defensive line was. I'm going Landon Jackson here. I think that's exactly where he should go. And it's kind of my favorite pick in the second round at pick 43. If we trade back and get an extra fourth, man, I'd be very happy.
I think it's not only that, I think it's consistent with a theme that the 49ers are going to have, which is I believe they want to go bigger bodies on both the O-line and D-line. I really believe that. And then this one, we went Grant and Landon Jackson. So we have a 330-pound defensive tackle and a 275-pound defensive end opposite Bosa. So those are big bodies for sure. All right, so now we're up pick 75. Bengals called saying, here's a sixth next year to move down six spots. Okay, that's – I don't know if I want to move for just a sixth. Let's see the other move. This one is move down two spots and throw pick 252 for a fifth. All right, I don't love that either. I don't think there's great value there. So let me see. 75th pick overall. And we have a defensive tackle and a defensive end.
I would love this start, man. I don't think people would be – Kenneth Grant's not sexy, run stuff in DT, but this fits the Niners' needs. I love this start.
Yep. Okay, so now we're here at pick 75, and we pick again. Let's see. Our next pick is 100. So we're pick 75. Now, I really like Emory Jones right here from LSU. I mean, that to me, he's a really intriguing offensive tackle. Jared Wilson, I've been bitching and complaining about Jake Brendel. Here is the guy that just says, goodbye, Jake Brendel, Jared Wilson, really strong center. But I also think this is a sweet spot in the draft for a top corner, and I love Denzel Burke. He's fantastic.
Fun player, man.
Scadabo's there. Gosh, there's a lot of intriguing players. I really like Anthony Belton here as well. CJ West, do I go defensive tackle? Kobe Bryant. Well, we've already gone defensive tackle. I think I'm going with my favorite offensive tackle. I think I'm going to take Anthony Belton.
There we go.
I'm a big Anthony Belton fan. He's 340 pounds. I think you can plug him in at left guard this year, and he could play left tackle next year. And if he's good enough this year, maybe you could play him at right tackle. But I think he's a plug-and-play starter at left guard. And he gives you a 340-pound, gigantic left guard. I mean, it's time to get some guys who can move some people in the run game. And this guy can move his feet, so I really like that. All right, so now we're at pick number 100, and you're up. Is there any position, and we've, you know, right now we've got beef. We went big defensive tackle, big defensive end, big offensive tackle. Three big-bodied guys. Who do you want to go with here?
There's still some more edge and defensive tackles there. Jared Ivey, Josiah Stewart, you know, I like
Josh,
that.
Here's the defensive tackle list. You have Josh Farmer, CJ West, Jordan like Phillips, all these guys. Public. There's a lot of good players here. Aeneas Peebles, Ty Robinson.
So if we go defensive tackle again, I want the smaller kind of three tech. We have the stuffer. You got the stuffer in Kenneth Grant. So like if we went back to, you know, defensive tackle, I would want one of the smaller guys. But yeah, that's not really Aeneas Peebles is the guy that kind of jumps out. Like he's that pure pass rusher. I think it's a little not early for him, but let's keep looking. Let's keep looking. Dorian Strong. Let's go back to the big board. Let's see here. Scrolling down. Dorian Strong, like that. We got our corner, though. You picked the corner, right?
No, I was debating it. We didn't pick the corner.
We took Bill.
We've gone big bodies right now. Let me see. Corner-wise, there's some pretty good players on the board here at corner. You have Quincy Riley, Jacob Parrish, who ran 4.36. You have Jabbar Muhammad from Oregon, who I think goes way too low in a lot of these mocks. Noel Williams from Cal is a productive player. Zoff Frazier from Texas San Antonio is a pretty good player.
For me, Jacob Parrish is kind of top of the list. Let's go back to the big board, all the positions. I just want to see if somebody has fallen that I think is a perfect Niners fit. Ooh, Torrey Horton. Okay, this is a guy that wide receiver, pure X all over him. Speed, 6'2". Again, we're talking Ayuk. DeMarcus Robinson's a nice filler. What are you going to do? So, man, my pick is going to come down between Torrey Horton, Colorado State wide receiver, that I think is a perfect fit in the Shanahan scheme, or we're going corner. I think corner's a bigger need. I'm going to go with the K-State guy. Let's go corner. Let's get the absolute perfect gold helmet type caliber player in Jacob Parrish. Speed, physicality fits everything that you want.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great pick, John. I mean, 4.36 speed, but if you watch him, the trait that stands out is the strength. You know, the strength and the tackling ability. This guy brings people down, solo tackles all the time, and he's runs 4.36. You know, and he's got great strength. So I love that. That's a great one. Okay, here's now a mode where I think this is probably a deal that's hard to pass up. This is 113 to move down 12 spots, and then you're moving up from 252 to 158. So you're moving up over 100 spots on the second pick. So that this one might be a good trade. Let's see if we can counter that. How about if we ask for 256 as well? Let's see what they say. And they said yes.
We get an extra pick, which we need.
Yeah.
In the past, pick. People used to say, like, oh, there's not enough room for these rookies on the. Nobody's saying that anymore.
Nobody's
saying that.
Yeah. There is room. They're not going to draft 12 rookies. You know, you're right. They're going to draft 17. You know, okay. So now we're at pick 116, and let's look at all. So we got an extra pick. We got a little value. We moved down a few spots. There's CJ West is hard to pass. I mean, just watch and Jordan Phillips too. Those guys, the way those guys move. But you know what? To me, I think the 49ers at this point, there's a couple guys that I think that are being really impossible for me to pass up right here. One would be Savion Jones from LSU, who's a combination defensive tackle, defensive end. But I'm going to go with the UCLA kid, Olufemi Oladejo. I think the Niners really love him. And that to me is a pick that they probably would have made maybe around here. But the fact that he's still there at 116, I think he falls into their lap. Oladejo. Now you've got basically defensive tackle, defensive end in Jackson, offensive tackle in Belton, corner in Parrish, and another edge rusher in Oladejo. And now you're up, John, at 125. And Buffalo's offering you to move back 7 spots for pick 177. So that's a pretty intriguing trade offer right there. But we'll hide the that and go to all so you can see the board. So this is what's
still there.
CJ West is right there. And, you know, to me, CJ West is almost – CJ West to me is kind of like a DJ Jones. I mean, you can't block him. He's really, really strong. Yeah, is he 6'2", 320? Yeah. But he's actually got movement ability and strength and power and explosiveness. To me, I think CJ West is a you know, scheme versatile beast of a defensive lineman.
You know, one of my favorite players that I wanted in free agency was Puna Ford, and that is my play style comp for CJ. It's just too much value here. I want the pass rushing upside that I don't really think CJ West brings, but it's just too much at this point. I know we got Kenneth Grant. I'm going CJ West. I don't give a damn who's there. I don't care. I would have taken him at pick 100 and been happy. So CJ West, now we got two defensive tackles, two defensive ends, which I think is a must. Now we just kind of get to go fund players from here on out.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest about this. If the draft comes down like this, Niner fans are going to love it because they're going to have, as you said, two big, strong defensive tackles in Grant and West, two really intriguing edge rushers in Jackson and Owadejo. And then you've gotten your big offensive lineman. You've got a true starting player at corner. I mean, if the draft comes down like this, I think Niner fans are feeling great at pick 138.
Shanahan might be pissed, though, because he got no wide receivers and no running backs yet. So he might be a little upset.
Well, let's check that out. Let's check out the skill positions here. Now, quarterback, we're not going to take a look at. Running back, Kyle Monongi. I really love Monongi. Raheem Sanders. But my new guy is Taj Brooks, and he's at 197. We pick 1, 2, 3, 4. We have four more picks before 197. Let's see
what. But like we're in this, but see, I'll say this too.
Yeah.
It might be early for Taj, but if he's your guy, Kyle Shanahan is notorious. This is a fourth round comp pick now. Like Kyle Shanahan's board is nothing like anybody else's board. So he don't give a damn if you're taking a kicker, a tight end that can't block or catch. He's going to take whoever he wants at that point. So like, man, part of me is just like, if we're trying to make this realistic, Larry, if you've got a running back you're in love with, Kyle Shanahan 100% would be cool with that.
I know, but even though I love the running back, I'm not going to go running back here. I'm going to go with a player that I think is a slam dunk in any scheme, and that's Aeneas Peebles. I think the Niners really like Aeneas Peebles. Peebles is 6 feet tall, 295 pounds. But he's fast. I mean, this guy's a true speedster at 6 feet, 290. I think are you happy with the two D tackles and two D ends? I am, but to me, Peebles complements it because now you got a guy who you can put in any spot and just another guy getting after the quarterback. I want that overwhelming front. And so I'm going Peebles at 138.
My favorite thing about Peebles, a 91.2 pass rush grade. Yeah, he's awesome. There all the time.
And there's great players here. I mean, Caldwell, Pegues, Riley Mills, Elijah Roberts, Simeon Barrow, Ty Robinson, Timmy Smith from Alabama, Tonka. There's dudes here. This is a good spot, and Peebles at 138, I think, is a steal. So you're up at 147.
All right, let's check out linebackers. We haven't got one yet.
Demetrius Knight is sitting right there. Also, Teddy Buchanan.
He's going to be second or third round.
Demetrius Knight. Yeah, I mean, where are we in the draft? Are we in the fifth round here?
Yeah, we just got to the fifth round.
Yeah, so there's no way he's there.
There's no way. Teddy Buchanan, I love. I like Jay Higgins. I like Jake Kaiser. I love Teddy Buchanan. He is a fun, fun player right up the road.
Went to my high school. It was a St. Ignatius Wildcat.
Larry Krueger's.
Seriously, this guy, Teddy Buchanan, they list him as a high motor linebacker known for his intelligence. That's right. He transferred from UC Davis, went to SI, then went to UC Davis, then transferred to Cal. And he's just he's a tackling machine.
Yeah, I'm Teddy Buchanan. I think it's a perfect fit, scheme fit, experience, loyalty, instincts is what I have on the thing. Special team star that just worked his way up in there. He's older, but yeah, I'm going Teddy Buchanan, I think, is just a good fit. And at worst, you're getting a special team stud and a perfect culture fit.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good pick. All right, let's go best on the board here. Let's see what it looks like. J.J. Pegues, who I do, really do love. Riley Leonard, but I really don't need a quarterback. Raheem Sanders, man, that's a good – he's a good player for sure. Ty Robinson, you know, but we're so loaded at defensive tackle now. Now, if I think if you go defensive tackle, now you're kind of overdoing it.
I think now, so, too. Three is – oh, I would be very happy with three.
Let's see offense here. Raheem Sanders. I'm going Taj Brooks. I love Taj Brooks. I don't want to miss out on Taj Brooks. 5'9", 214, 5-year player in Lubbock, durable, consistent force. He's a bowling ball of a back, bounces off contact, breaks tackles with ease, not a speedster or a pass catcher, but his reliability on the two down change of back pace, guaranteeing 3-4 yards per carry. Tough, dependable runner. Yeah, I love Taj Brooks. To me, this is the guy you finish games with, Taj Brooks.
I like it.
We still have four picks. You're up at 187.
Let's look at some wide receivers. Let's get some wide receiver help over here.
Let's see. Wide receivers. Now, Theo Weiss Jr. from Missouri.
Oh, I don't have to look anymore. Antoine Wells. I see my guy.
Dante Thornton.
I'm going Kobe Hudson. He is by far one of my favorite kind of 49ers fits. 6'1", 193, experience, versatility, roots, kind of does all that stuff, plays in the backfield, could be a returner, hasn't really done that, but I think that he is just one of those guys that I think Kyle's going to absolutely love. So a wide receiver, UCF.
There you go. I like it. I like it. I've heard good things about him too. All right, let's go to the big board and see. Now, I do love Jalen Conyers. He's there. And Jackson Hawes, he's there. Tyler Batty. Oh, but here's my guy. I'm going how do I not go Willie Lampkin? I know Juice is back, but to me, Willie Lampkin is the future at fullback. Let's see what happened here. How come I'm not?
Oh, you got to resume draft. It's not our turn yet.
Oh, I got you.
I hope he's still there.
Oh, I got you. So let's see now. Now it'll come
we got
up here.
Too excited. I love it. Now it's our turn.
Okay. Now. Okay. Let's see. Let's see if. Yeah, he's the top rated guy on the board right there at guard. I like Willie Lampkin. I think he's a dominant. This guy's got greater length than 6'7" guys. He's a short center, but he's tough as hell. I think this guy is an impact offensive lineman or fullback. I love Willie Lampkin at 227. That's a steal. You're up at pick 249.
We haven't got a move tight end yet. That is one of the spots that, you know, I want somebody that can play that wide receiving tight end spot. I'm seeing a lot of the bigger guys. Are you seeing anybody that you like here that is a move tight end that could branch out and run some routes for us?
This is how this group of tight ends. So of the guys that are left, Prieskorn's a gigantic target, not a great mover. Jurecek, I think, is a really good player, underrated. He's a good receiver. Dupre from Alabama worked out great. Strong, really
49ers
strong.
49ers met with him.
Yeah, met with him. He's twice. But he only scored like 3 touchdowns ever in his whole career. So I don't know about Dupre. He might be like kind of a little bit of a workout. He might be a Robert Beal, one of these guys that works out well, plays on a mass awesome team, but doesn't do a whole lot. Joshua Simon, super athletic tight end from South Carolina. This kid Runyon from Towson's pretty intriguing. They met with Jermaine Terry, kind of a bigger bodied guy who's pretty good athlete. I kind of like this kid, Rivaldo Fairweather. He's got an 84-inch wingspan. He didn't start playing football until he was a junior in high school, which is really, really late. And yet he's like this guy who's fallen in love with football. He, you know, stays after practice. He's really, really athletic and super long arms. I like him a lot. I like Cole Taylor from West Virginia, who started at LSU and transferred. And then these guys down here, Anthony Torres is a really intriguing player who they met with as well. He's a good player from Toledo who had some injuries and was out of football for a while. And then Malik Carr started at Michigan State, transferred to Houston. He's like 6'6", 265, pretty good blocker.
I think I want to go Fairweather. The Niners met with him at the Shrine Bowl. He fits that move slot wide receiver type guy. And he's kind of a Mason Plyne similar type guy. And so Rivaldo Fairweather tight end Auburn. Why not? Let's do it. It fits the need.
I love it. I love it. So, okay, now we're at the last pick of the draft. What haven't they gotten that they really need? Okay, so they're set at quarterback, right? They're set at running back. We have our running back, though it's a great running back draft, and there's nothing wrong with getting another running back. Let me see who's on the board. I mean, yeah, Krosky Merritt, Mario Anderson. These are a lot of good backs here. But I have Taj Brooks there, and I really love Taj. Wide receiver-wise, Elijah Badger is intriguing. Arian Smith, you go for the burner, you know, the true burner per se. Rock Taylor, I know they met with him. I love Jordan Watkins from Ole Miss. That's an intriguing area. We got a corner, right?
We don't have a safety. I think we got every other position group but safety and quarterback. But
okay, well, let's see safety-wise. Let's take a look at the safeties. Now, I kind of like converted corners more than I like safeties because safeties don't really cover that well sometimes. Oh, but you know what? I'm taking this guy, Dan Jackson from Georgia. Did you see what this guy ran today this week at the Georgia Pro Day?
No, I missed it.
4.4. 4.4 for Dan Jackson at the Pro Day.
Speed kills, baby.
He's a really smart safety who's got great instincts, very high productive player, tackler, coverage guy. But the question was, is he a good enough NFL athlete? But he ran 4.4 and worked out great. So I'm going to take Dan Jackson there. I was leaning maybe going with a linebacker, and I could have definitely gone linebacker because I think – you know, Chandler Martin, Nick Martin, some of those guys, David Benda, I think they were all there. But maybe I could get one of those guys undrafted. So here's our mock. It's Kenneth Grant, defensive tackle, Landon Jackson, defensive end, Anthony Belton, offensive tackle, Jacob Parrish, corner, Olufemi Oladejo, edge rusher, CJ West, defensive tackle, Aeneas Peebles, defensive tackle, Teddy Buchanan, linebacker, Taj Brooks, running back, Kobe Hudson, wide receiver, Willie Lampkin, center, guard, fullback, Rivaldo Fairweather, tight end, Dan Jackson, safety. Pretty good. It's a 13-person draft class, and you didn't move Brandon Ayuk in the – we could have, but we didn't. Do you think, John? What do you think?
My favorite is probably that round 3 through round 4 where we got Belton, Parrish, Oladejo, CJ West, Peebles. It's just like, holy cow. And I think that's the strength of not only our draft that we just did, but the strength of this entire draft in general. Those third, fourth, fifth round picks, you can get staples in this draft. And so like, even if at like you look at CJ West and Aeneas Peebles, you put them together, that's one player, right? So you have your run stuffer in West, and then you got your pass rusher in Peebles. If you can do that and get two contributors at that level, defensive tackle is loaded. We went early defensive tackle and middle defensive. Talk about turning a weakness into a strength. And I think that this exercise, are they going to pick all these players? No. But it illustrates that building through the draft can be successful. And we don't know if all these players are going to pan out. But, man, we didn't take a lot of swing and miss prospects. Kenneth Grant's going to be a pro. Landon Jackson is going to be a pro. And so we didn't take gambles early. And then we focused on team needs and trenches in the middle of the draft. And then we just kind of went best player available late, which is also what the 49ers do. So I'm sitting here saying, Larry, I'm signing you up, man. You're going to be general manager of the year. Adam Peters, watch out. Kruger's coming for you, man. I like this.
I like this draft. Oh, here's the thing, too. It sounds like if you said to somebody, man, they need 5 defensive linemen. That sounds like a big number. But here's the draft. Kenneth Grant, 1. Landon Jackson, 2. Olufemi Oladejo, 3. CJ West, 4. Aeneas Peebles, 5. We took 5 defensive linemen in the top 138. But you know what? They're all different, right? I mean, Peebles is a pass rusher, interior. Adejo's an awesome edge rusher. Landon Jackson's a really strong edge rusher, really long. Kenneth Grant's a gigantic one technique who's just going to absorb up blockers. It's a unique group. And we also found a way to get, you know, some additional weapons. Fairweather, Hudson, Taj Brooks. You know, we got three different weapons there. Yeah, I think, you know, I'm pretty satisfied with the way this came out. All right, let's hit the last supers and then we'll bolt for the door. And thanks to everybody for watching the stream today. We got that one. We got this one. Let's see. We didn't get this one. Matthew Short. Henderson, the Ohio State running back. Yeah, he was talking about Travion Henderson. He's a great scheme fit. Yeah, Travion. I mean, the thing about Travion,
you got to take him in the second.
Yeah. I mean, if you want Judkins or Henderson, you're going to have to take him in the second. And then, you know, it's hard to take guys in the second round when you have as many needs as the Niners do and Landon Jackson staring right at your face. You know what I mean? That's a tough one because Landon Jackson's 273 pounds. Anyway, that is going to do it for us. John, tell people if they are part of the Krug Show and they haven't followed you yet, tell them about your channel and what you put out there and how to go about following you.
Yeah, 49ers Rush, wherever you watch and or listen. And I got one big thing I want to talk about is we're going to put together a freaking awesome draft party. So in the heart of the city, Broadway Studios over in the North Beach area, we're going to be there. We rented the place out not for one day, but for 2 days. So for all of day one and all of day two of the NFL draft, it's just $20 a ticket. Kids get in free. Go to 49ersRushRoadTrip.com, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Get your tickets now. Giveaways, raffles, trivia, 49ers-centric coverage, live broadcast day one and day two. Kids are going to – it's awesome. It's family experience. You want somebody to be a better fan. You want your kiddos to be better Niner fans. Bring them. Trust me. They're going to leave with something tangible. We're going to have a good time. It's going to be a lot of fun. So this is like a dream come true for me. This is something I've always wanted to do. So, yeah, if you want to come out and party for days one and day two of the draft, 49ersRushRoadTrip.com. Go get your tickets now.
And, John, I think what we can do as soon as the stream's over, we can link it in the description.
There we go.
So those of you guys can check that out as well. It will be linked in the description. We'll do that within a half hour or so after the show's over. So, yeah, we'll link that. And if I can be there on Friday, I won't be able to be there on Thursday, but if I can be there on Friday, I will be. And I'll have some details on that coming up, but we'll definitely promote that for the next month or so for John. And as I said, we'll have a link in the description below. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thanks to Claw Daddy Arcades. Thanks to LearnKey Upskill Academy. Thanks to Pig and a Pickle. Thanks to John. Thanks to all of you. Until next time, peace.
Yeah, never met a man I've been scared of. Careful.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on Too Tired to Cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
You need parts? O'Reilly Auto Parts has parts. Need them fast? We've got fast. No matter what you need, we have thousands of professional parts people doing their part to make sure you have it. Product availability. Just one part that makes O'Reilly stand apart. The professional parts people.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.